Today's topics, storm stories and cell phones on planes. Yes, cell phones on planes is a bit of a rerun from last week, but we had basically about 10 seconds worth of comment on that, so it's still a fresh topic. Item number one is the number one discussion topic around the region this week, the weather. It is highly unusual, as it never happened in 28 years in the region for me, to have a major snowfall on the valley floors followed by an Arctic freeze that prevents the snow from melting. Schools in many towns west of the Cascades and north of the state line shut down for, now it's up to 4 days for many of them, while the roads slowly, very slowly, return to something closer to normal. How did you ride out the storm? What changes did the weather force in your travel plans or routines? Did you get stuck on the road somewhere? Lots of stories like that. What is this? Today's Wednesday. So it was just this morning on the way to work, the same Mustang that was stuck on the hill going up toward Ashland finally moved for the first time since Friday, but it was there as late as last night when I passed by it. So how did you ride out the storm? What changes did the weather force on your routine? Lay it all out for us. The numbers again, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Item two on this Vents Day is a holdover from last week. Again, we kept it because so few people commented on cell phones on airplanes, and it is still a very hot topic. As soon as tomorrow, or sometime afterward, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is expected to open up a comment period on whether to allow the traveling public to keep the phones turned on in flight. As many people suspected, the phones will not affect the navigation of the plane. What does that prospect seem like to you, having phones going on the people on either side of you, or maybe even you using one yourself? Is this great? We can talk and text from 5 miles up. Is this awful because the person next to you can fight with his or her spouse all the way from Chicago to San Francisco? What do you think? Give us your thoughts on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 541-552-6782 in the Rogue Valley. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Initial comment from Ray in Roseburg about cell phones on planes. He says, "Oh, for the blessings of silence. We are losing the ability to be quiet and enjoy it. No cell phones on planes, please." We'll count that as one no vote. Tony in Talent writes, "I spent 11 long hours on a flight last week sitting next to a family with a baby and a two-year-old, mostly very well behaved, but at times the whining decibel level got pretty intense. If it is deemed there's no longer a safety problem using cell phones in flights, I see no reason to continue restricting their use. Surely we should respect the First Amendment rights of cell phone chatterers as well as wailing kids. I find earplugs useful on long flights," writes Tony in Talent. Cell phones on airplanes and storm stories up on Vents Day. Join us after the break here on the Jefferson Exchange. Eight 36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. It is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics on the news. This week's topics, cell phone use on airplanes, or tell us your storm stories. We have lots of stories, all of us, I think. Those of us who spent any time out in the weather in the region over the course of the last 5 days, it's been an interesting time with a deeper than usual snowfall, followed by an Arctic freeze that kept it all from melting. Streets are still in pretty lousy shape in many parts of the region. Let's get your thoughts, storm stories, or cell phones on planes, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 541-552-6782 in the Rogue Valley, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Carter in Wolf Creek, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, good morning. I've been wondering the last several days how this weather mechanism operates to bring the Arctic air down south. And what I've been able to find out on the internet recently, like at Arctic News and some other sources, is that the snow and ice melting off in the Arctic somehow increases the frequency of the wiggling of the jet streams around the planet. And this is what brings the cold air in here at this time of the year.
All right. My research follows yours as far as the jet stream goes, that the jet stream did curve further south and that allowed the Arctic air to come down. I hadn't heard the first part of that, though, about the melting of the ice being a part of this.
Well, you have a decreasing temperature differential between the Arctic and these regions of the Earth around the planet. And this apparently increases the frequency of the wiggles of the jet stream as it flows east to west or west to east, I'm not sure which, and that is the major contributing factor to this Arctic air, and the phenomenon is increasing. And remember, 2 years ago, we had very similar weather conditions, but not the severe weather temperature extremes. That's why I called.
All right, and so you're saying this is climate change related?
I say that there's an awful lot of information on the Internet if anybody wants to go and inform themselves. And on the cell phone thing, I agree with the first message that you gave. Let's have silence.
All right. Thanks for that, Carter. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Matt in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're telling storm stories and talking about cell phones on planes.
Yeah. I'm really more concerned. You know, I'm more concerned about the Valley's lack of a response plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, personally, I've worked in the emergency services in a career 12 years over 9 zip codes, both federal, local, and local resources. Never lived anywhere before that had no plan in place for 4 inches of snow. Is not very much snow. We live in the mountains. We just haven't had it since 2007. And so people keep saying 20-odd years, but really it's 2007. When Grants Pass got buried, and they had no plan then either.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I've called the City of Talent. They have no plan in place.
Yeah, and you know, I notice it's not just the governments, too, though, because, you know, in the places I've lived that did snow, I grew up in suburban New York and Connecticut, lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin for a year. So people shovel their own sidewalks. Nobody has snow shovels around here. Nobody even knows to do that. And I'm sure the experience, you live in the same town I live in, that people get used to the idea of the sun getting warm enough and the temperature getting high enough to melt everything, usually within a few hours of the snowfall. But your point is taken. There's no plan.
There's none. They had no. There are volunteers. On my street alone in Talent, there are 3 people with trucks that would put a plow on the front of it if the city had a plow available for them to do it, and they'd do it for free. But the city has no plan. They had no thing in place. There's enough gravel at Knife River to handle all of this. None of it's been handled. It is scary. It's frightening. The thought that a minor weather storm puts the entire valley. It's worse. It's actually, I didn't think it could get worse than it was with the fires last summer. This is worse. I've never seen anything like it in living across the entire United States, growing up in the Midwest, working the East Coast and in California and in Oregon. Anyway, that's my piece.
All right, Matt, thanks for that. Appreciate it. There has been a fair amount of criticism of like people asking, why are the road crews not out there? I know specifically to Ashland, the reporters from the Tidings went out and discovered that the city of Ashland has a great supply of cinders. That it goes out and scatters on the streets. And in fact, I did see a truck out yesterday with a plow on the front and a cinder sprayer on the back. Apparently what happened was the precipitation came so fast and furious at the beginning of the storm, it got in there with the cinders. And then since everything froze so quickly, it turned the cinders into a block that could not be distributed. That's the story for Ashland. The larger question that Matt raises is, well, okay, what are you going to do if it goes on for several days as it has? We're now talking, let's see, my kids have not gone to school since last Thursday. Today's Wednesday. They're off again today. They got a week off of school, essentially, from this storm, and they're not the only ones. And so lots of stuff to consider about how to proceed in the future. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're telling storm stories and talking about what we think about the idea of cell phones in use on planes at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Bill in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. It's Vince Day.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Thanks. Just on the cell phone issue, so I've flown a lot, international and domestic, for many years because of the work, and there have been a lot of distractions on the planes when man's trying to sleep, especially on the long ones overseas, back and forth, and, you know, and it's tough enough with, you know, the kids crying, and nothing against kids or anybody else, but there's people that get on there and they'll talk real loud, trying to talk over the noise of the plane itself. And if they had, you know, cell phone conversations, you know there's going to be people that are going to talk real loud over their cell phones.
Yeah, that is
and
true.
It's just going to be, you get a plane load of people. Let's say 10% of them do that. Well, it's going to be pretty loud anyway. So in my view, it's just really not conducive to trying to make our society any more gentle than it already is.
You know, but I wonder about the way in which people use their cell phones, since so many people under a certain age tend to use them primarily for texting and not a lot for conversation. If they'll just sit there pounding away with their thumbs and you really won't hear from them.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I text myself, and it's a quiet way of communicating, which is fine, you know, but getting on there with their voice, I just think it's going to be a real problem, because the flight crew themselves have got their hands full trying to keep people under wraps. Mm-hmm. And they try to keep, you know, somebody from beating somebody up because they're talking too loud or something, because they're trying to sleep, or the anger. It's just going to elevate the level of anger on the plane. Seen it. I had to break up a few flights on the flight, or break up a few fights on the flights myself because of one reason or another. And it's just going to add more problems in my view.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. You get people together in a sardine can. The temperatures get a little short to begin with in those closed environments, and you have to wonder. Interestingly enough, Amtrak and some commuter railroads offer quiet cars. There is one car on each train where you can't talk out loud on a cell phone, and it's generally like the library used to be, where you can sit there and tap on your computer or do your work, read your book, whatever, and there's not a lot of conversation in the car, and it's all what is there is all sotto voce and no use of cell phones. People have talked about maybe having no cell phone sections on the planes, and the response came just as quickly. Those of us who do remember when there were smoking and non-smoking sections on planes, yeah, it's not like you could really keep it in one area. What do you think? Cell phones on planes, or tell us your storm story? Join us on Vents Day at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Douglas in Dexter, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thank you for being there for me. Hi, this is Douglas in Dexter, and I have returned to the area from Miami. I've been away for 40 years, which is kind of a Rip Van Winkle sequence for you.
Right.
And I originally landed after about 4 days traveling on a bus in Portland where there was no snow at all. And then I jumped on a train on Friday and descended into the icebox of the 8 inches of snow. So for me, it's been kind of a novel experience, and for me, it's been kind of a visiting, because I understand that there hasn't really been a storm like this in some years.
It has been quite some time, but caught you by surprise, too, I gather.
Well, we are the land of 150 to 200-mile-an-hour winds with major hurricanes off the Atlantic, so a lot of the blame for the storm has been placed on me, and it's a very heavy mantle.
All right. Thanks for the call, Douglas. Appreciate it. Tell us your storm stories. A lot of interesting things to see around the Rogue Valley this week. People really creeping along on pavement. I noticed that I've gotten so used to driving on roads that are packed with snow and ice, and there's that real rough feeling underneath it. On those rare occasions of late when I actually get onto smooth, clear pavement, it feels weird to me. It's kind of like getting your sea legs back after being on the ocean for a while. It's not an interesting, it's just not the feeling you're used to, because you get used to that room, 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 room feeling. And I'm talking about even without chains on the car or anything like that. Noticing yesterday, RVTD buses were taking different routes because there's one area in particular where they're having to go up and down steep hills, and they're avoiding those hills by taking different routes. So all kinds of things that have changed, in addition to the obvious things we've talked about. Schools closing now for 4 days. They closed down preemptively on Friday. Schools in Ashland and Eugene, for example, still closed today. So this is the fourth day of school closure, for sure. Opening up again in some places like Medford, 2-hour delay in Grants Pass, so a mixed bag of things. The JPR wine tasting that was set for this evening has been postponed until February 13th. What's your storm story? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Charlie in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Oh, heck, I remember when they used to pass out warm, moist towels and coach before you landed.
I remember that, too. That was nice.
That was very nice. They only give you that in first class now. You know what's going to happen, of course, on the airplane? They're going to charge you. You're going to have, you know, if you want to sit in a quiet zone, then you're going to have to pay extra. Just like everything else now. If you want extra leg room, you pay extra. You want to take a check a bag, you pay extra. That's what's going to happen. They'll just use it as a way to make a have more fees.
Mm-hmm.
But the snow thing, God, I've lived all over the country. You know, lived many years in the Midwest, the upper Midwest, blizzards, storms, East Coast, Eastern Oregon. And I'm just flabbergasted at the lack of planning and at the lack of of preparation and doing anything about. I mean, there's streets. The street right in front of my house is totally snowpacked still. I mean, this is what, almost 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Half the people have no concept that they have to shovel their sidewalks to make it safe. You know, what it's going to take is somebody slipping in front of your house and suing the bejesus out of you. And that's what's going to wake people up. But it's the city. I mean, major arterial streets in the city of Eugene have only had a tiny little sprinkling of tiny little bits of gravel thrown over it. It's absolutely, I mean, what is the function of government? But, you know, at the local level, but to do things like this is to make sure that, you know, I mean, where is our tax money going? No, it's going for things like free bicycles so that the bums can get around town easy. All over town. Anyway, I'm venting.
All right. Well, yeah, that is what Vents Day is here for, Charlie. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
All right. Let's go to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're telling storm stories and talking about cell phone use, potential cell phone use on planes.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jamie.
Anyway, a few random thoughts here. Thank gosh I was able to get in touch with you because all my fingers and toes seems to be frostbitten off and why did Sir Edmund Hillary climb the mountain? Answer: there were no cell phones up there at 10,000 feet, for Pete's sake. And so myself, with regards to people on cell phones on airplanes, it's like, my gosh, it's bad enough up there already, 10,000 feet. If they put, Jeffrey, if they put an ejection seat on those people, the annoying ones, mm-hmm. I would feel calm about that.
An ejection seat. Okay, there's one vote for ejection seats. Thanks for the call, Jamie. Always good to hear from you. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, cell phones and storm stories.
Well, we had our typical winter water freeze out at the house. Ted the turkey was not a happy camper. And it led me to think, again, about preparation for unusual events. You know, we do depend on government for a lot of things, and I'd say government's failed pretty miserably on delivering on this particular one at the state and local level. However, it should also cause all of us to take pause and think about how fragile all of our support systems and all of our networks that create the life that we live really are, and what do we do without them, and how do we get through a period where those services are interrupted?
That is an excellent point, and one that came to my mind as well the other day when I had a knock on the neighbor's door and say, can I use your bathroom? The pipes are frozen at our house. And I realized that, he said, here, you want a jug of water from our pantry? I realized, no, we didn't have any drinking water stashed up at our house, although we keep talking about it. We keep talking about getting ready for potential earthquakes or other disasters or disruptions. We had still heat in the house, but we had no water. And boy, that makes a huge difference in the way you live your life.
And it's one of the simplest preparations you can make. Now, I'm still working on turkey psychology on how to take care of a ticked off turkey in the snow. But the rest of it, you know, you can get ready for an awful lot of this stuff.
But have you made the turkey happy anyway?
Well, more corn.
That'll work. Not for the rest of us, though. Paul, thanks. Always good to hear from you.
Cell phone's still in the strawberry bed.
Oh, that's right. You're the one who called about the strawberry bed. All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Well, I can relate to the turkey story because we've been dealing with our chickens, and I looked it up on the Internet, and chickens are pretty good as long as they don't have a lot of wind and they're in a protected shelter. But we put on a couple 60-watt bulbs and let them fluff up their feathers, which makes it kind of like a down blanket, and they definitely ate more. I can't believe how much. But I was calling about the wild birds because I went through probably about 20 pounds of sunflower seed, which normally takes about a month and 5 days, and then the hummingbird feeder, I was bringing it in at night and taking it out in the morning, but it was so cold that it froze, and the poor little hummingbird beak got stuck to the hummingbird feeder. One of them died, and I saw the other hummingbird trying to push up against it, trying to release it, and I didn't know what they were doing. And I went out there, and the poor thing was stuck and had died. But that was my big concern, was the wildlife and trying to keep the birds fed, because most of the birds in this area are not adapted to snow. And then the previous caller that was talking about climate chaos and preparing for more events like this reminded me of the military testified in front of Congress a few years ago about climate change. And they said, imagine several scenarios like Katrina happening simultaneously. And they said, we can't be there. The government won't be able to help you out. It'll be each community for itself. So I suggest all of our communities working on local preparedness, networking, building community, and for such events, because I do think we're going to see more weather extremes and climate chaos. So, and for keeping your hummingbirds happy, we put a little propane heater underneath the hummingbird feeder enough far away so it wouldn't hurt it to keep it melted. But I think the worst of it's over, and I hope everybody's staying warm and cozy.
All right. Thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Let's go to Alicia and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking storm stories and cell phones on airplanes.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Just a curiosity here. I heard on the radio several times that the temperature last night was to drop to 21. And now as I look at my thermometer, it says 4.
Really?
It never hit 21, never went up 21. It stayed close to 0.
Are you in town in Talent or out in
the
country?
Yeah, I'm in town.
Okay, because it was about 15 at my house.
Four here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I've noticed a lot of variation from place to place. Just last week, we had somebody in who lives on a farm just about a mile or so outside of town. And on the same day when we had like 10s and 12s, he had about 4 degrees at his house.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're venting about cell phones on airplanes and our experiences with the storm that was last Friday. And we're still dealing with the effects 5 days later.
Good morning. Well, my hometown is Anchorage, Alaska, so this would be entirely unremarkable up there, and schools would not have been closed for a single day. But I'd have to take issue with some of the callers who are complaining about the way the public agencies have responded. I think given the resources they have available, they've done a pretty credible job that they did plan ahead. They have priorities for which streets are going to be cleared and in what order. And the crews have worked. I heard somebody from ODOT saying that his crews worked 16, 18-hour days on Friday, and they came back in and worked 12, 14-hour days on Saturday and Sunday. So I think given the resources that they have available and the fact that they're not going to invest in a bunch of snow plows that are going to sit idle 362 days out of the year, I think they've done a pretty credible job.
Well, that is a big issue, and I noticed that there have been comments similar to some of the ones we've had here on Vents Day from people saying, well, why didn't they get the plows under the streets? And the answer is they really don't have many. The snow removal equipment is really just not there for a lot of the cities, particularly from Eugene on south.
Yeah, and, you know, people are complaining about paying taxes for services. Well, you know, do you want to pay taxes for services that you're going to have very little use for? So, you know, if there's a trade-off there. Yeah, do you want to be able to have them respond at a moment notice on very rare events, or do you want to pay for a lot of equipment and services that are going to have very little use? So, I think, by and large, the agencies have done a closer job. My main gripe is people following too close for the conditions. I heard somebody say that on the news the other night that he'd been in some kind of fender bender and he slammed on his brakes and nothing happened. Well, that's all, when you slam on the brakes and on glare ice, all you do is lock your wheels and slide. So, slow down, and even more important than slowing down is give yourself plenty of space between yourself and the car in front of you.
Absolutely good advice. Thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Storm stories and cell phones on airplanes are topics on Vents Day. We can sneak in another call at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782. I'll tell you something. You learn a lot about yourself in a situation like this, though. Things about your patience, your ability to drive, your ability to deal well with other human beings, these things all become part of your attention as you work your way through a storm. As things began happening last Friday, I was heading home from Ashland and the snow began falling very heavily. I took some video to stick up on our Facebook page and then got back in my car and proceeded to spend the next about an hour and 15 minutes trying to get about 4 blocks through downtown Ashland. Never did find out what was going on at the other end, why things were just creeping along. I mean, we sat and waited through 6, 7, 8 changes of traffic light. My suspicion is that because there were some fairly precipitous hills ahead of me, that cars were falling down them. And there was very, very difficult time getting a grip. And you find out about things like, gee, anti-lock brakes really work differently. Those of us old enough to remember when the driver's ed instructor said, feather the brakes in the snow, you can't really do that anymore. You stomp on them now and they go, and they feather for you. So all kinds of things you find out about yourself, your automobile, and the people around you. And a lot of people done a lot of nice things for each other in the storm. There's a good editorial in today's Mail Tribune you might want to take a look at about the ways in which people helped each other through the worst of the winter weather. We hope the worst is, in fact, behind us. Notice, though, the date is December 11th. Winter does not officially start for another 10 days or so. And we have had the worst of the winter storms thus far. So thanks for joining us on Vents Day. Here's hoping we don't have to talk about this topic again anytime really soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part.